to the ground. The size worked against him. His sheer weight hitting the ground winded him. Lauren scrambled to his feet. This was no time for finesse. He had to chill the bastard quick. He drew his Colt Python and leveled the barrel. The man was floundering, trying to turn and rise quickly, his large frame uncomfortable on the ground. His movements were slow, and Jack gently increased the pressure on the blaster's trigger, squeezing in what seemed to be slow motion. The liquid flow of time slowed to a sluggish drip as Jack's attention focused on his adversary, still clumsily struggling to regain an upright position. Then time stopped altogether with a sudden, heart-jerking break. Jack's finger tightened all the way, the pressure squeezing the trigger of the Magnum Blaster and firing it. The blaster failed to work. That gave the giant all the time he needed. Time snapped back like a whip. The giant was on his feet and moving across the belt to Jack. Already the albino had slipped the blaster back into its secure holster and had palmed two of his knives so that one sat easily in each hand, perfectly weighted for hand-to-hand combat. The brute reached him in three long loping strides. The fourth footfall brought him toe-to-toe with the boy, and his large arms encircled Jack, pinning his hands to his sides, the pressure of the bear hug causing his hands to close on the knives, the blades slicing into his own palms. The pain was sharp and intense, the kind of pain that concentrated the mind. Jack let all his muscles contract and loosen. The vital inch he gained in space enabled him to wriggle down from the grip, sliding down against the giant's shiny, frictionless clothes before he had a chance to adjust and tighten his hold. As he slipped down and away, Jack slashed with his left arm, the razored edge of the leaf-bladed knife slicing across the giant's abdomen, cutting through the material of his bodysuit and scoring the skin. A thin line of blood appeared, spreading out to stain the material. The giant sprang away from Jack, clutching his stomach in surprise. Jack was thrown off balance by the force of the spring, and he rocked on his heels. He shook his muzzy head to clear it, cursing his limbs as they failed to respond rapidly to his brain's instructions. It seemed his blood had been replaced by molten lead. The knife in his left hand came up and made to throw, but the giant recovered faster than the albino. Before Jack could power his throw, the giant scooped up a handful of earth and threw it at the youth, temporarily blinding him. The knife left the albino's hand, but his aim was affected just enough for it to fly past the brute's head instead of penetrating the carotid artery that had been its target. Before Jack could clear his eyes, he felt the giant's arms around him again. This time they lifted him cleanly from the ground, raising him high in the air before throwing him. Jack felt the sudden weightlessness of flight and braced his body for the inevitable impact. Despite his best effort, he still felt all the breath driven from his body. His head struck the earth, sparking off more explosions. He landed on his side and rolled over to his back, ready to spring. The sight that greeted him made him freeze. The giant was standing a few feet away, gazing directly at him. The bloodlust had disappeared, replaced by a calm concentration. The laser rifle had been unslung from across his back and was now in his hands, the length and bulk of it dwarfed in his grip. He was aiming directly at Jack Lauren. So this was how it was all to end. The chilling of his comrades unavenged, and his own chill coming in circumstances that still eluded him.
Hey! Stupid works! Get the fuck!
An expression of puzzlement crossed the giant's face, and he turned away from Jack almost involuntarily. Lauren followed the giant's gaze, completely failing to take advantage of his opportunity to rise. The source of confusion stood several yards away, her calves lost in the lush grass. How she had managed to come upon them without disturbing them up to this point was something that the teen didn't even bother to think about. Too many strange things had gone down since he'd regained consciousness. She was smaller than Jack, maybe 5'1" or 2", and her sharp and clearly defined features were handsome, her high cheekbones framing clear blue eyes that pierced through both men. A mane of flaming red hair, lighter than Christie's but of a similar flowing length, cascaded over her slight shoulders. She was slim, finely built, with a delicate bone structure that pulled into a narrow waist and slim hips. Her breasts were small and firm, hidden beneath the torn and patched material of a t-shirt. She wore cut-off jeans that were skin-tight and cut high up the thigh. Her skin was golden brown from repeated exposure to the sun, and the amount of it she'd left exposed served to show off the incredibly toned musculature that wrapped her delicate frame. The muscles rippled on her thighs and calves, her flat stomach glistening with a light sheen of perspiration. The muscles on her arms were whip-taut, one hand resting easily on her hip, within swift grasp of the panga that was strapped to her thigh. The other arm was out in front of her. In her small hand, she held a Vortuk pistol. The lightweight blaster seemed enormous in her grip, but Lauren knew from JB that it was an excellent hand blaster, light and accurate. He wondered if it was the 11-shot 45 ACP, the 17-shot 40 Smith & Wesson, or the 20-shot 38 Super configuration. Not that it mattered right now. She needed only one shot, and that was maybe all she'd get.
Are you deaf, boy? Get the fuck!
The giant blew out his cheeks, as though appalled at the nerve of the tiny woman to try to interfere in a private fight. He raised the laser blaster.
Asshole.
The brute was chilled before his body even touched the earth. The woman holstered the blaster in the small of her back and smiled at Jack, a wry, lopsided grin that began in her large blue eyes, but spoke of an injury to one side of her face, paralyzing some of the muscles. She walked over to where the teen still lay and reached out a hand to him.
Come on, honey. Time to move on.
Jack took her hand and felt the tremendous strength in her tiny, wiry frame as she lifted him to his feet.
What the fuck going on? Not do me, but feel it. Not remember anything of friends, Chill. Not hear him coming. Or hear you. Not add up.
She began to walk in easy strides across the veldt toward the trees. Jack fell in beside her.
Soon you'll understand, sweet. Nothing ever happens without reason, even though you may never know why. Although you don't know me yet, in some ways you always have. And always will. Maybe I appear like this now, but not at other times.
Make less sense than Doc.
She stopped and turned to the albino, raising her hand and cupping his cheek in her palm.
Trust me and remember me. It's my gift to know before times and to reach out. Remember what you've seen and me.
She gently brushed her lips against his.
I gotta go, but remember.
Jack stood and watched her as she continued into the trees without looking back, her hair swinging across her shoulders and down her back in rhythm with her stride. Part of him wanted to follow, yet another part of him knew that now wasn't the time. The doomy feeling gnawed stronger. Suddenly it stabbed, doubling him in pain. He felt a familiar wave of nausea replace the anxiety, and blackness rose before his eyes. He sank to his knees, welcoming the relief of oblivion. Jack could taste bile, bitter and choking in his throat as he regained consciousness. Every muscle, tendon, and nerve ending in his body ached, not with the pain of combat, but with a strange feeling that it had been deconstructed and then put back together under enormous pressure. Which was what had happened, in a way. He always felt this way after a Mattrans jump. As he spat the bile from his mouth and wiped the thin trickle of blood from his left nostril, he blinked in the dim light of the chamber. The armor glass on this chamber was a smoky turquoise hue and let in little light from outside. The only illumination was the low-level lighting and the fading glow of the discs that patterned the floor of the chamber. There were no tendrils of mist left from the fog that enveloped the chamber immediately before and after a jump, so it was easy for him to figure that he'd been out for some time, which was usual. But the dream was not. Was it a dream? Jack was a born hunter and predator, his attention and mind focused only on what was going on around him. He didn't dream often. The only dreams he could ever remember were those that involved his dead wife and child, Christina and Jenny. Terrible dreams, where they were close to death and he was always prevented from saving them, condemned for all eternity to relive their demise in infinite variety. And now there was the woman. Who was she? Why had he seen his friends chilled and spread around the veldt? Why had he survived? Jack could recall every detail of it as though it were real. He could taste and smell the ground, the death, the woman. If he was becoming a doomy, then he didn't want to know. Should he mention the strange dream? Would it unsettle his companions before they even knew what they'd landed in this time around? Jack became aware of Mildred standing over him, bent forward so that her plaits were dangling before her.
Jack, are you feeling well enough to move?
The jump had been better than usual for most of the companions. Why that should be, no one had any idea. Come to that, no one cared. Using the Matrans was a good way of moving from one area of the Deathlands to another in the constant search for the indefinable better life. Somewhere to settle. To build lives away from the constant struggle of survival.